Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for tuning in. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo Studios, which happen to be our homes. And joining us on the line right now, also from his home, the host of Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, the host of the NFL draft coverage starting next Thursday. He's been with ESPN since 1997. Happy to have our old buddy Trey Wingo on the line. Hello, Trey. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Oh, Murph, Tasker, how are you guys? Great to see you guys.
Great. We miss you. We don't talk to you on a weekly basis anymore. That was fun when we had you on there. We should do that more often.
I'm all about it.
Let's do it.
Congratulations on being the host of the ESPN NFL Network coverage. What was the biggest surprise for you when you started to kind of get your mind around what's going to happen and what work have you guys already done?
Thanks. You know, for me, nothing is really going to change. I mean, I've been doing our coverage since Philly in 2017. But obviously with circumstances with the NFL Network, we're just incorporating a lot of those guys into our broadcast for this year. And I'm quite frankly thrilled because so many of those guys, you guys know how incestuous this business is. I mean, half the guys at NFL Network used to work here. Half our guys here used to work there. I mean, we sort of all go back and forth. For example, Daniel Jeremiah used to sit in our NFL meetings when he was working with Chris Mortensen, helping get things going. And Rich used to work here, and Michael used to work here. And I've known Kurt Warner forever. So for me, it's just doing the same thing, just having more things at our disposal. And I think that's going to make the draft so much fun this year.
What do you think will be different for viewers, Trey? Certainly, we know there won't be handshakes with the commissioners and walking out on stage, but what do you think viewers will see or maybe won't see this year in the draft?
Yeah, the simplest answer to that question is what's going to be different for the viewers? Everything. just to put it in perspective, like last year in Nashville, we had over 650,000 people downtown at the end of Broadway, a little area called Rock Bottom, over 3 days. And it was nuts, and it was great. And, you know, the year before that, we had over 300,000 in Dallas, and the year before that we had over 200,000 in Philadelphia. So that part of it is going to be completely different. I mean, just the logistics of it. I'm going to be by myself in the studio tossing to Roger Goodell in his basement in Westchester making the picks, and then Lewis and Booger McFarland and Mel Kiper Jr. will all be on remote, and we'll bring in Daniel Jeremiah from his home and Michael Irvin and Kurt Warner. I mean, it's going to be a tribute to modern technology more than anything else. And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge. And just understanding, as we're all doing this now, I mean, look at the way you're doing your show here. It's just a different reality. And the draft is always a mess, right? It's always kind of bumpy and crazy and fun. And this is just going to be another way it's going to be bumpy, crazy, and fun.
Who's going to technical direct this thing? I mean, you're going to have 50 cameras at different locations. Are you just going to let the software do it and just whoever's talking the loudest gets the screen?
Yeah, how about this, Steve? Suddenly the most important person on every NFL team is their IT guy, right?
Yeah.
This is more than the general manager, more than the VP of player personnel, more than the scouts, more than the head coach. Am I connected? Can I get these things in? Look, it's going to be crazy, right? All 32 teams have at least four or five remote situations for them. We have cameras with 58 players set up remotely wherever they're going to be to get their reactions when they're drafted. We have our people. Susie Colbert is going to be remotely doing interviews for us. I mean, this is a tribute to technology. Like 10 years ago, this would not have been possible. It would have all been on landlines and been, you know, full screen graphics and phones. But with Zoom and all the other apps that we have and Skype and everything else, it's going to be the way this is going to be because it's the way it has to be this year.
With Trey Wingo, the host of Golic and Wingo on ESPN, the host of Draft Coverage next week. Hey, Trey, Steve and I were talking over the first hour about this new way to cover the draft. Some viewers, I think Steve and I would fall into this category, might like it without all of the fluff and, you know, the red carpet arrivals and the suits the players are wearing and the green room shots and even the hugs of the commissioner. It might be more football oriented, huh? Do you see that happening maybe?
Well, yeah, absolutely. But it's funny, like from the NFL's perspective, outside of the Super Bowl, the biggest fan engagement event they host is the draft. I mean, a couple of years ago in Dallas, I was walking out from our hotel to get to the set, and I met three people from Scotland who had flown in. They were deciding whether or not they wanted to come to the Super Bowl or the draft. They flew in from Scotland just to hang out at part of the draft. And I mean, I know that's nuts, but the weird thing about it is, like, for example, the Super Bowl is really a one-day event. I mean, you get there one or two nights beforehand. But when you do the draft, you can sort of have this three-day experience and sort of spread it out a little more. So that's where the sort of draft has become. I'll never forget sitting next to Roger, the commissioner, before the 2017 draft in Philadelphia. Because the last 2 years we've been in Chicago, and the first couple of rounds had been indoors, and then day three was outdoors. And Philly was the first year they decided to do everything outdoors. And we were all sort of curious about how it was going to work, set up at the Philadelphia Art Museum there. And as the crowd started swelling in to have over 100,000 people down there for Thursday night, Roger looked at me and said, "Trey, I think we've outgrown indoor events forever." You know, he sort of was right. Now, obviously, it's completely different this year. We were supposed to be in Las Vegas, and we're actually going to have shots of the Strip in Las Vegas as part of the telecast. But I think that the NFL would love to. To your point, it will be more football centric, Murph. But I think as far as an event, the NFL is looking forward to getting back to what it has been the last couple of years.
Yeah, and there's no question, Murph and I were looking at each other sideways going, man, how big was it going to be in Vegas? You're talking about boats and moats and, you know, being ferried across and the showgirls and all, you know. Yeah. I mean, goodness great. It was going to be, maybe the biggest spectacle of any, maybe even Super Bowls. I mean, it was going to be enormous.
I was the joke we said last year we were in Nash Vegas, and we're going to top it by going to Las Vegas this year. So,
right.
And it's interesting what they're going to do, because Cleveland is promised next year, and then there's an empty year, and then there's Arrowhead. So I think my guess is Vegas would probably get the year that's empty, which would be 2022, and it's going to be an Arrowhead in 2023. That's just speculation, but so much was invested by the NFL in Las Vegas and the city of Las Vegas in putting this thing together that I would have to believe there's going to be a make good or a mulligan there for them.
With Trey Wingo from ESPN. Hey, Trey, the league is putting together plans to host what they're calling a draft-a-thon to benefit COVID-19 right. relief efforts. Do you know much about that, how that might work next week?
I don't have a ton of details, but I know that Rich Eisen is going to be heavily involved in that. And listen, we're all in this because of that, and I think it's a really good idea that the NFL is taking this sort of opportunity to use a showcase event and make sure we understand. Because, you know, there's been a lot of people, I wouldn't say a lot of people, there have been some people wondering, well, how are you going to do this with this going on across the world, and especially in this country right now. And I was curious what the reaction was going to be. Was there going to be a lot of blowback for the NFL going forward with free agency and seeing these players signing all these deals and everything else going on with so many people struggling with the economic as well as the health fallout of the coronavirus pandemic. And I think people are just thirsty for something. You know, I think they're just looking for something. Like, the only thing I can equate this to from a sports perspective was 9/11, how everything just shut down after 9/11. And then it was sporting events that sort of helped us make us feel like things were okay again. The first game in New York between the Braves and the Mets, the World Series after that, and, you know, after a week off the NFL resuming. And it was like, okay, things are going to be all right. They're going to be back together again. And we just don't have that right now because of, obviously, the thing that sports does is it brings so many people together in an enclosed arena, and that's what we're trying to avoid. So that's what's made this difficult. I think people would love to have something to hang on to, and I think the NFL is going to be proven that it was okay to do this when this was going on, because people are just looking for something, an outlet to get away from the thing that is everywhere, right? There, you can't get around it, no matter whether you're going to the grocery store and wearing a mask or turning on the TV and listening to news. I think for 3 days, it's going to give people a chance to just go, oh, let's talk about this now.
Right, and I agree with you. It is going to be a welcome distraction, but the fun of it is, and I don't want to, you know, this is my favorite question these days. All right, so everything's humming along. Okay, Trey Wingo, you're the host. What is the absolute worst case scenario? Is it like is it a botched trade where the phone goes down before they can finalize it? Is it a power outage? Is it a massive miscommunication where we thought, hey, said this, we thought that, the phone went down? Is it, you know, what's the, you know, this could go bad.
Right. Well, I guess I would answer that question, and you would be astutely aware of this, the thing that we're not planning for. Let's take, for example, Super Bowl 47, Steve. Things did not go as planned that day when the power went out at the Superdome, and you guys did a great job adjusting, and you in particular were tremendous in that. So, I mean, I guess that's the thing that I guess would be the worst case scenario, but that happens every year at the draft. People forget in 2003, the Vikings didn't get their pick in on time, and they were passed over in the first round, and they had to scramble to get their pick in on time before the next team jumped in to get ahead of them. Then we had the second year in Chicago, right before Laramie Tunsil was going to be picked, some agent or pseudo agent posted video of him smoking weed in a gas mask. I mean,
right.
The draft is always sort of a train wreck. You know, I mean, it actually is. That's sort of the appeal of the thing. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's a worst case scenario, but it's also like, all right, strap in, boys, because here we go.
You know how competitive these NFL teams are, Trey. Is there any opportunity for a really smart, really technologically advanced team to sort of take advantage of the way things will be next week? What do you think?
Well, it's interesting because we had a big pre-draft meeting last week, and one of the people that was on the call was basically saying the NFL is telling, because these are all uber competitive guys, right? No matter what's going on, you're trying to win. And we had one person that was saying the NFL is telling these guys, don't try and game the system, because if you get caught, we will come down hard on you. Because again, it's supposed to be only one person in every facility, and we don't want, and this was the example they brought up, we don't want to find out that later on the owner was downstairs and the general manager was hiding out in his bathroom upstairs information to him, right? So literally, that was one of the scenarios that was discussed, and like, don't do this. So I think two things. One, I think they're trying to nip that in the bud. And the other thing, and they've said this, they're going to be a little more lenient for technical difficulties, because if a trade or something doesn't come in exactly in on time, normally in the past it would be like, fine, moving on to the next team. There's going to be a little more wiggle room. And I think that one of the sort of safety nets they're taking along these lines is that along with everything else that's going on, there's going to be one dedicated line for all 32 teams the entire time on the draft, like a conference call. So if they can say, hey, we're having a technical difficulty here, this is what we're trying to work out, bear with us, that's a fail-safe.
My question is this, and I know they're not calling Roger Goodell himself. Who at the league office is in charge? I mean, they've got a war room in the league office just that would rival any of the teams, if not more so. Right. Who's at the league office saying, okay, we've got a trade, and they're going to execute the trade for the teams and then let Roger know, that kind of thing of what the, you know, that usually is done behind the scenes by executives and officers in the league,
right,
who ostensibly aren't able to be together either. So right. What's the logistical way that works, and where are those people going to be, and how do their phone lines work?
You know, that's a great question. I'm assuming it's going to be very similar as everyone else. I don't have any more information about that, but much to your point, those were always people behind the scenes that weren't seen anyway. And I think in some virtual way, that's going to be the same scenario. I just don't know how that's all going to play out.
Right.
Live with Trey Wingo, host of Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. You'll be hosting NFL draft coverage next weekend. Trey, Steve and I have said a couple times, this might not be a bad year for the Bills not to have a first rounder with all the uncertainty about the draft. In fact, they might be a little bit more comfortable waiting until pick number 54 to select with their first pick. What do you think of that scenario?
Yeah, you know, I mean, basically you have to think of yourself as Stephon Diggs as our first-round pick. Much in the same way, right, a couple of years ago, the Dallas Cowboys traded away a first-round pick to get Amari Cooper, and it certainly helped their offense. Since that time, they've been the best third-down offense in football, and they finally got him re-signed to that big deal as they wait and try to get the Dak Prescott deal done. But that's if you're the Bills, you have to say Stephon Diggs is our first round pick. He's in his mid-20s or, you know, 26, 27 years old. You've seen him be explosive. To me, for the Bills, like, this is a big year for Josh Allen, right? I mean, yep. It's year number three. You have what I think is a really good tight end in Dawson Knox. You have Cole Beasley, who can catch things over the middle. You have two guys that can burn the lid off the top of the defense now, and John Brown and Stephon Diggs. So this is the year for Josh Allen to make the quantum leap. Look, he played much better last year and obviously got them into the season and was great until the second half of that game when went haywire a little bit in the fourth quarter there. But this is the year for Josh to be everything they wanted him to be, and they're providing him with a lot of those weapons around him now for that to happen.
Yeah, it seems they've got a roster put together that's really strong, particularly their defensive side of the ball. They were a top three defense last year, and they've replaced Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips with some quality guys that are coming in. But really, and I agree with you, from the outside looking in and even from the inside looking out, this season, once again, is about a young quarterback developing and how far he can take them. This team goes as far as Josh Allen will take them.
I agree. And it's funny, we've been talking about this a lot on our show this morning. I wonder what it's like for teams in the AFC East right now, knowing that, you know, Voldemort has left the building, right? I mean, for lack right. of a better term, you know, Darth Vader, you know, who could always hold up the division and just choke them with his hand there. I mean, give me a sense of, like, what the Bills fans are thinking. I mean, literally, let's be honest, this has been the Patriots division. If they're not owning it, they're leasing with an option to buy. And they still may be very good. But half the reason they've been very good for all those years is now wearing an eye patch and swinging a sword in Tampa Bay. So, I mean, what has been the reaction like in Buffalo about, oh, thank God, like, is it like we finally realistically have a chance now more than ever?
Well, Murph and I are at different ends of the spectrum. I'm pretty sure that Bill Belichick is not in the fetal position in a dark closet wishing for it all to go away. Yeah. And Murph is more on the lines of thinking that Tom Brady was the be-all, end-all of the reason they were successful for all those years. And so somewhere in the middle is probably the truth, but I'm thinking that the Patriots aren't going anywhere, and Tom Brady will probably make the Bucs a playoff team.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Buffalo played the Patriots last year two games as well as they could have played them. They didn't find a way to win in either of those games, but they played them as – I mean, those were one possession, one score games down the stretch, and they were really two vastly different games, right? Because in the game in New England late, Josh Allen came up with two ridiculous plays, and there was not much in between. And in the first game, man, the Bills' defense just beat up those guys, and it was a special teams play more than anything else that really turned the tide in that game early on. So, you know, I'm not counting out the Patriots in any way, shape, or form, but it has to feel a little different in sense like at least we feel like there's more of an opportunity to make that next step going forward.
Live with Trey Wingo, a couple of minutes left with Trey. He's with ESPN, been with him for, well, since 1997. Hey, Trey, around the NFL, just your thoughts on the Patriots and what they do without Tom Brady. Are they really going to go with Jarrett Stidham or Hoyer as their guy?
Well, it's interesting, right, because a lot of people said, how could they let this happen, and how could they not have a plan? And my reaction has been, why do you think they don't have a plan? I mean, as soon as Brady went into the season without a contract, and he said it when he was on Howard Stern. By the way, a sentence I never would have heard when New England. What about Tom Brady on the Howard Stern show? Yeah, right. Tom's experiencing his best life right now and doing things completely differently. You know, as soon as they started the season without a contract, I was like, okay, they're both planning to potentially go their own separate ways. And if that's the case, then you have to believe that the Patriots believed in what they had, because they had no idea about who was going to be available and who was going to be there for them. So on some level, they had to believe that Jarrett Stidham is going to be that guy. Now, is that right? I have no idea. But I think that's the plan going in, and whatever's going to happen after that would be the second part of this plan. But I think the first part of this plan has always been, all right, we drafted Stidham in the fourth round for a reason. Lewis Riddick was sitting right next to me when they drafted him last year. He loved that pick then, and I think that he's going to be the guy going forward.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because I was completely wrong about Tom Brady. I knew that he didn't have a contract, but I knew that there were strong personal relationships at work at the top of New England with Robert Kraft, with Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady. And I just thought, there's just no way they wouldn't work it out. And then ultimately, obviously, it did not work out. And I so me, if I'm wrong again, I really think that they've got a plan that may or may not include Jared Stidham. I certainly think they're going to sign another quarterback.
Oh, there's no question.
Who that is really going to tell us everything. If it's one of the free agents, like if it's a one-year prove-it deal with Cam Newton or Jameis Winston, or if they draft a kid, or if they sign Billy Bag of Donuts, that'll tell us everything we know one way or the other, everything we need to know one way or the other.
They've kind of got Billy Bag of Donuts, right?
Yeah. That's true. No.
But I've seen this play five times. You know?
Right.
The thing that's really interesting to me, there's two like crazy scenarios, right? Let's go crazy. Like Jameis Winston would be the crazy scenario. Right? Tom Brady goes down there and suddenly Bill Belichick is the one guy that makes Jameis Winston turn over a verse. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, outside of that, he's everything else you want, but he can't stop doing that. And it's not just the 30-30 year. And I get people are trying to defend him, and God bless him. And, you know, Chris Godwin had been wonderful saying all the right things about him. But it was just last year, Jameis Winston would probably still be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Since he came into the league, no one has more turnovers than his 111, I think it is. And he's got 20-plus more than anybody. So it's not just last year. It's a five-year window of him not understanding that ball security is paramount to success in the NFL. So it would be the most Belichickian thing ever if he would end up being there. I have no idea if that's going to happen. But you're right. They're definitely going to sign another guy. It's not just going to be Stidham and Hoyer.
I'll say this, though. If Jameis Winston goes to New England and they win 12 games, I will, like, you know, I may just it'll change me forever.
Well, look. The thing where I have faith in Bill, and like the year that Tom served his four-game suspension, they were going to go with Jimmy, and he got hurt in the third game against Miami. So they had to play that fourth game, which was a Thursday night game with Jacoby Brissett. And what I'll never forget about that game is that Jimmy got hurt in the second half of that game in Miami on Sunday. They had a home game that Thursday. In 3 days, they changed the entire offense. I mean, it was the most Belichick game of all time. In fact, I think in that game, they had more designed quarterback runs with Jacoby Brissett than they had, I think, in the last 6 or 7 years, or maybe even more than that with Tom Brady under the helm. To me, that is the most Bill Belichickian thing of all time. He's the amoeba coach, right? He doesn't say, this is my system. He says, what players do I have, and I'm going to make them the most comfortable. And that was, to me, right, the best example of it. And they won that game.
Yeah. Hey, Trey, last thing I have for you. I'm not going to ask you whether the NFL will play. Nobody knows that answer. But of all the major sports, it's difficult to envision an NFL season without fans, isn't it? I mean, of all the major sports, I'm talking about the top four, the fans seem to play the biggest role in the NFL more than any other. I just can't imagine what that would look like. They have a studio sport and not have fans there. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I think from a logistics standpoint that football is going to be the most difficult because it has the most people on the roster. Especially college football. You know, you're talking about 90 kids and then support staff and coach and all that kind of stuff and training. With the NFL, you're talking 53 players. You're right. Buffalo is an outlier because the Bills' experience at the game is one of the best in the league. But there are the actual watching of the game is sometimes more enjoyable than being at the game. Now, Buffalo is different, but you look at a lot of stadiums around the NFL midway through the regular season, and sometimes the seats are sold, but they're not filled. The NFL has created the perfect television sport. And yet, really bizarre to have a completely empty sport. But the way so many people consume the NFL right now, I mean, I every Sunday, if you're not at a game, you're sitting there with the red zone on, plus your favorite team, and Twitter open, having an exchange with everybody about what you're seeing. And the NFL has, quite frankly, perfected that experience over the last 5 or 6 years. So would it be bizarre? Absolutely. But would it be completely out of the realm of I don't like it? I don't think so. I think people – I mean, the HD experience of an NFL game is so far beyond sometimes what you're able to see outside of the communal experience of the fans in the stands celebrating.
Yeah.
Hey, Trey, thanks for this. Great catching up with you. Stay healthy, and we'll talk again sometime. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Trey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.